welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I am so excited for you to get to meet this friend today. This is Dr. Ronique Wilson.
Yes.
So Hello. Excited for her to come. I'm excited for y'all to get to know her. I'm excited to get to know her more. We met at the Equip Conference.
Yes.
In February?
Yes.
Gosh, was it February?
February, yes.
And we were part of the think tank team that helped kind of speak into that team and work through that with Corey DeLeon, who's over that ministry. And we were part of a women's ministry panel.
Yes.
And we each had little topics we talked about and just had a few minutes to share. And when Ronique shared, I immediately said, oh, I got to talk to her. I got to find her. And so we finished, and there were like 12 of us, and we're all coming off the stage and getting our stuff and going to the breakouts or whatever. And you were walking away, and I literally grabbed your purse, and I was like, wait, I got to talk to you. And that's not normally how I behave, but it was one of those where I was like, and I literally said, I need you to come to Sagemont's Table Talk podcast and talk about what you just said.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. And finally got you here. I got through a wedding. You've got a senior graduating.
Yes.
It took a little doing. But
not for the faint at heart at all.
No. Listen, she and I have talked about the whole senior thing. It's a deal. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting. So I'm so excited for you all to get to meet her. So I want you to just kind of introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us about your family. Tell us just how you met the Lord. And a little bit about your even ministry story, because you've been serving in women's ministry for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You also, I didn't say it and I should have, it's doctor. It's very fancy. Mm-hmm. You have a mental health degree.
Yes.
Yes, and do a lot with that, which is one of the huge reasons you see what we're going to talk about today. But just share a little bit so that people can get to know you some.
Well, the doctor and Dr. Ronique Wilson is, I'm a licensed psychologist professionally. So I went to school, had visions of being able just to help people, encourage people in very difficult seasons of life usually. But also God had a plan that if he had asked me my opinion, I would have said no.
Right.
But he had me meet this really cute guy at church one day. He was a visitor and I was a member. And fast forward, he said after he proposed to me that he wanted to go into ministry.
So he got you.
He got me first. And the first thing I did was look at the ring on my finger and I said, I like this ring. So I think I'm gonna stay. But the reason that was so so funny to us is I always said I would never want to be a pastor's wife. Mm-hmm. I would never want to be in ministry because ministry just has a lot of stuff to it.
It does.
But as I look at my mental health calling, he was always leading me down this road. And it just makes sense
mm-hmm.
that part of what I do professionally also impacts what I do ministerially.
Yeah.
So at our church, Crossover Bible Fellowship, my husband is the pastor, Blake Wilson. We are focused on teaching people the word of God and touching people with the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
So having a sense of what people need ministerially, personally, spiritually, biblically, that's our focus. And so much of what we do comes from the idea that we recognize what God has done in our lives. Mm-hmm. When I think about when you say salvation story, when mm-hmm. I think about that, I remember being 12, mm-hmm. growing up in a church with the children's ministry, all that good stuff. But there was a revival. I don't even think many churches have revivals anymore.
Listen, every once in a while, you know what's crazy? A lot of college campuses are having them right now, which is really cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we had a revival that week and there was this minister. And I've done children's ministry all my life, but something about the way he presented the gospel that night, it hit me and I understood it in a way that I had never understood it before. So hindsight, I know that was my salvation moment.
Yeah.
I was tearful and I was passionate about learning more
mm-hmm.
About what I had just heard in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But being from a kind of a smaller town, there wasn't a whole lot of teaching and training and building afterwards for young people.
Right.
For the older crowd, yes, mm-hmm. for the adults, but not for young people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was college and after college where I really started to get fed biblically and growing up more in the word day by day.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what life looked like from a salvation standpoint.
Yeah.
And then ministerially, married a pastor. We did youth ministry for years.
Fun.
Then children's ministry when we were engaged, youth ministry for years. And then I transitioned into women's ministry once he began pastoring. And not so much because I was his wife, because sometimes pastors' wives get...
Have to do it no matter what kind
things.
Of a deal.
Yeah, yeah. But I really felt a hunger. I felt awesome. He was moving me away from youth ministry and teenage girls ministry, which I did cool. more specifically into women's ministry. And that's where I am now. And it's a very heavy burden and passion in yes. a good way. Yes.
Yes.
For me, so.
Yes. And I know one thing, when I first came on staff here 11 years ago, so many people said, oh, women, they're such drama. And I went,
they say that.
Stop speaking that over women, because we do not have to be. Mm-hmm. We have that label often. And I'm like, we're not going to do that. We're not being drama. We don't need to have that. And that's been a huge passion of mine over the years of, yes, we are emotional people and God created us that way for a purpose and a reason, but our emotions don't get to rule us.
Yes.
And so, women's ministry, I have a huge passion for it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it gets a bad mark.
Yeah. When you hear men say women's ministry and women and drama, it's because we're wired differently than men.
Correct.
So my husband and I, when we have disagreements, we talk about different doesn't mean deficient.
So I love that.
Yes, women are wired differently from men, but it's not a bad thing. It's
right.
an intentional thing by God, because we say we believe in God. We believe he's a creator God, and he created man, and then he created woman. So could he have been intentional in creating us differently? So the fact that we're different is not a bad thing. It's
no,
a good thing.
Absolutely.
Because when you get, especially when you get into a marriage relationship, they need that difference
yes.
of a woman, just like women need that difference of that man. When I hear women say, women are drama, or I don't do women, I say to them, what does that say about you?
Right.
You're a woman. So if you say that about yourself, how do you view yourself?
Yeah.
And then how are you viewing connections and relationships with other people?
Absolutely.
And oftentimes that comes from a place of woundedness, bad experiences, those kinds of things. And so what I try to do is dig deeper into what's driving why women say those kinds of things, and see how we can get to the bottom, the symptoms, the root, not the symptoms, and then address the root, and then the seeds that come from that and the flowers that come from that can be beautiful.
Yeah, so that's awesome. And that was almost what that was very similar to what you said that Saturday morning when we were sitting on that panel, when you said so often women don't do women's ministry and they will look at you and go, I don't do women. And I went, oh my word. Yes. There are so many women in the church that will just go, yeah, I don't do women. And ever since you said that, I've just even personally been digging a little bit, going, why? We know women feel that way. Listen, I could feel that way.
Yes, very much so.
If I wanted to, I could totally feel that way. And kind of digging down, like you said, to those roots of why is that there? And I wanted to talk to you about a few of them. The first one is just, you and I talked a little bit the other day. I think so often when women say, I can't do women's ministry, I can't do community, I don't want to build into that. And listen, this isn't just about women. This is really talking about, I'm sure there are probably men that go, yeah, I don't hang out with the guys.
Yes, very much so.
I don't hang out with the
men's
guys.
Men's ministry leaders will tell you the same
That's
thing.
That's right.
It looks different, but men's ministry leaders
same
will say the same
thing.
Thing.
And so it really is, why are people not willing to do community? I think they all desire it, but not willing to do it. One of the things you and I talked about that I thought you had great things to say was so often people just go, I'm too busy. I don't have time. I have my husband or my wife. I have my kids. I don't have time to be purposeful to build community and relationships with people. What do you say to that person?
Well, what I say is, yes, we are busy. But when we neglect areas of our lives, then we find ourselves being deficient in some areas. So when I think about, if you think as a parent, you think about, okay, the baby is born, they get here, you start going to the doctor, and you start looking for certain milestones or certain developmental pieces that should be in place. And when, you know, the kid walking on time, talking on time, or being able to, you know, grasp things with their fingers or move their legs, all those kinds of things, things. Oftentimes when a child is not on track, it's because possibly there's something deficient. Mm-hmm. And so they may prescribe a vitamin regimen, or they may prescribe some kind of treatment to bolster the area that's lacking. And so when I think about ministry and, excuse me, and community, what I think of is oftentimes we are deficient in areas of our lives and our development, our spiritual development and our spiritual growth, because we're missing community.
Wow.
We think that the word is all we need. You know, we go to church on Sunday. We may do Bible study. We may do small group, those kinds of things. We're good. We got it. But what we miss is that there's a piece to our spiritual development that's based in community. Mm-hmm. If you think about Jesus, he had a group with him. He had a community with him, the disciples.
That's right.
And the disciples and Jesus were always looking to add to that community, bringing people in. But then we find ourselves, we're so busy.
Mm-hmm.
That we miss out on some pieces of community. So we have to then be intentional about scheduling life.
Yes.
So what do I need to do? I have these kids. I have my spouse. Could it be that, okay, this weekend's date night is with another couple?
Right.
So we can get community in, so that when something is going on, there's another couple that knows us. Mm-hmm. And I can go to that sister. He can go to that brother. And we can begin to talk about whatever we may be going through. And that helps to build us up spiritually. Or maybe we're in a season of life where we have really small kids that need us more. So maybe it may sound trivial, but, you know, even something as simple as a play date. Yes,
right.
A little bit about the kids getting together, but it's about me having some time. And let's not just spend the time talking about, you know, we found the right diaper for nighttime, or we found this great after school activity mm-hmm. for our kids. Maybe we check in and say, hey, how are you doing in this particular area? Or when we are sitting, I find myself doing this a lot. I'm sitting outside of basketball practice or dance rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that mom pull up in her car, and yes, we're both scrolling on our phones.
Right.
Maybe one of us gets out and walks over to the window and say, hey, what's going on with you? How are you doing? Let's invite you to this, those kinds of things. Are we taking the time to come to even women's ministry events mm-hmm. at the church?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see the advertisement. It's 2 weeks away. This event is coming. I'm already talking to hubby or maybe grandmother.
Right.
I want to go to this event. Would you mind watching the kids?
That's right.
Those kinds of things that we have to be intentional about, because if we're waiting for life to get convenient to fit in community, it's not happening. I'm in heaven with the angels
uh-huh.
finally, and never got a chance to do that.
Yeah.
So you really do have to be intentional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in listening to you, you know, the fruit of the spirit that as believers we all have, it's almost that self-control piece
mm-hmm.
a little bit.
That's
of,
good.
I'm going to have self-control to not let my maybe laziness of I'm just going to sit in the car because I don't want to talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But controlling that and going, no, I can be purposeful.
Yes.
God's given me the ability to go and do a thing and to think of others more than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blessing to us, but it really is thinking of others more than ourselves.
Yes.
I was telling you, my daughter just got married, and y'all, I'm in that really sweet season of getting to see the blessings of our family being so purposeful to make sure we had community
mm-hmm.
when the kids were, when it was difficult, it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
We had to plan months in advance to find time to get together with people.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm looking and I'm going, these people love my kid so much because they've been with her growing
mm-hmm.
up. They're not family. They're friends, but they love her so much. And it's funny now, because as my girls are getting older, they're like, oh, you had to work really hard for us to actually hang out with other families.
It takes
like,
major coordination.
Yes, we did.
Yes, it does.
You know, I mean, there was 3 families, 11 kids, you know, the whole thing. And you're like, yeah, that took a lot of work, but it was a priority. And that's, I want to look at anybody, not just young families, but all the, and say, do it. The
mm-hmm.
blessing. And I think one thing you and I probably both see a lot is so often people wait until there's a crisis.
Yes.
And then they're like, where's my community?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's hard.
I was just thinking that. I was thinking you build community for a lot of reasons. But what happens is when community is already in place, when crisis happens, then the cavalry comes in.
That's right.
I can think about seasons of loss in our lives as couples in our childbearing years. Mm-hmm. When we experienced a loss, before I knew it, people were coming through the door. People were calling. Food was at the doorstep. All kinds of things were happening. Mm-hmm. And it was because we had that community. When you don't have community and then you don't have people come to your support and aid, you sit back. And sometimes the enemy can slip in and make us get a little mad.
Absolutely.
Saying, where are the people that should be here that say they're the church or whatever, they're not here. And part of that is, and I've had these conversations with many women in our ministry, we've put off signals that we want space or that we don't want community. Mm-hmm. So people actually give us what we've indirectly shown them that we want. Mm-hmm. So even when crisis comes up, they're not readily coming to us. Now, they may want to, but they'll say, well, we don't think she would want us to. So we'll just kind of pray.
Right.
So we've almost sometimes trained people not to engage us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we miss out on the those other benefits of community because of that.
Yeah, I think that's so true. Another reason that I wanted you to kind of dig down into is really, truly, there's so many people say, I don't do community because I've been hurt by it before.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've tried and it just wasn't, you said this the other day, it wasn't authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And so why would I do it again?
Mm-hmm.
Almost, why am I setting myself up to be hurt or deceived in community because I've seen it happen before?
Yes.
Why in the world would I try again?
Mm-hmm. Many times our relationship experiences were outside of the faith community. And so we're using the measure, the worldly measure of our friendship history and putting that, superimposing that on the faith community, and the two aren't the same.
Right.
So yes, we have experienced relationships that were insincere. They may have been demeaning and catty. They may have even been competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of walked around with the appearance that there was a real friendship there.
Right.
But oftentimes there wasn't. So then when we get in the faith community, we expect it's going to be demeaning. It's going to be insincere. It's going to be competitive. Sometimes we even feel like, you know, well, that crowd is different from me. They won't think that I fit.
Absolutely.
And so we keep our space and we keep our distance. But many times, every woman in the room is thinking the same thing.
Yes.
So then nobody's engaging anybody.
Yes.
So we, as women's ministers, then we have to create intentional platforms where we almost force people to connect.
Yes.
So that they can realize that there's something to this.
That's right.
So if we understand that biblically God built community into the faith, that's why you have 100 one another passages. Love one another, serve one another, challenge one another. And let me say, on challenge one another, oftentimes when we're challenged by another sister, we view it as an offense.
Yeah.
But really, the Bible is saying, hey, when there's another sister spiritually mature that sees you walking down a road or making a decision that's not biblical, the Bible implores her to challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't mean that she's being offensive or attacking you or there we go again, you know, with that kind of demeaning behavior. No, she sees something in your life that God is using her as an instrument to course correct.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think that's another huge reason to build community.
Yes.
Because then when that woman comes to you and says, hey, this doesn't look right, I have a relationship with her.
Yeah, rapport.
I'm hearing it. I'm going, this woman has shown me that she loves the Lord, that she cares about people. She might not be my best friend, but I at least have built community with her. So when she's doing that, I'm more apt to receive it. And actually, for me, and what I try to encourage ladies to do is seek it out.
Yes.
Seek out women that are going to look at you and go, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Before I implode, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there is, I think, that part where, so, man, we are super prideful people.
Mm-hmm.
And we so don't want anyone to call us out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we don't like that.
Yes. It doesn't feel good.
No.
And we almost get the impression that once we come into the faith, you know, we make Jesus almost a storybook character where everything is supposed to feel good and flowery. And part of our development spiritually is there going to be some hills and valleys, humps and bumps, and there are going to be some opportunities where we're flying high and successful in our walk, or productive, not really successful, but productive in our walk. And then there's some times where we're going to, that's not the route that we're supposed to go. Right. And God uses people, God uses community as instruments to course correct us. Yes, he could, you know, be this big booming voice in your bedroom and say, stop doing that or go this direction. Or he could just use another sister who notices something seems different here. Let's talk about it. Yeah. And maybe that sister I thought of when you were talking has credit in my life.
Yes.
And so because she has credit, I'm open to receiving what she's saying. But the ultimate piece is that the Bible has relationships look different. Even I think about forgive one another. We'll pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be more like you. I want to be more like Jesus every day. And then a situation comes up in a friendship where there's a breach or there's a disagreement. And now I have to forgive. And the Lord is saying, OK, you said you wanted to be more like me. Well, Jesus was forgiving, wasn't he? That we just you know, we just passed Easter recently. So, you know, Jesus, because of his actions on the cross, forgiveness came to us. And so God wants us to be able to learn how to do that. So we don't just learn forgiveness through osmosis somewhere.
Right.
We learn it when we get put in situations where we actually have to forgive. But we would think that because we had a disagreement, that that meant that that was something wrong with that relationship. And no, that's not the case. This is not the worldly reference point. This is biblical. So God uses his word and uses the experience, those experiences to develop us. And the thing that I also oftentimes will say to women when I'm talking is, especially when you're thinking about the New Testament, a lot of that is about how believers are to manage their lives. So these words aren't written directly to non-believers. It's written to believers. So if the Bible says forgive one another, you're going to have a time. You're going to have a time where you have to forgive.
That's right.
So expect that. And it doesn't mean that the relationship is off. It means, oh, wow, I asked to be more like Jesus. This wasn't what I meant exactly. But we're going to go with it.
He's giving me opportunities. Giving me opportunities.
Exactly.
So talk a little bit about community inside the church with other believers. And you've been hurt. And because we know, listen, I hate the phrase church hurt.
Oh, I do, too. It drives me crazy. Yes.
Because I'm like, you were hurt by people, potentially inside the church. But just because we're believers doesn't mean we're perfect. We're still sinners.
Yes.
And the church is full of a bunch of sinners that are going to the Lord and saying, I want to do the best that I can for you. You have to do it through me, but I'm still going to make mistakes. And so God hasn't hurt you. The church, the big C church, hasn't hurt you. It's the people inside it. But we know that that is very much a ton of people's reasons why they don't go to church is I was hurt by the church. And they just, and done. You talked a little bit about community outside of, with non-believers, and there's a different standard. If you don't know Jesus, I have different expectations for you. I don't expect you to forgive because you don't know the Lord, you know? But in a body of believers, how do I process through being hurt by other believers?
I think the first step is recognizing that our perception of the church could be off. And what I mean by that is, we're walking into a church expecting that there won't be any relational issues. So when there's a relational issue, we think that there's something wrong with the church. And it goes back to what I was saying a moment ago. If the Bible talks about the fact that we are supposed to forgive one another or challenge one another, that means that he's talking to church people. So those kinds of situations are going to come up in church. And it doesn't mean the church is off, because it's not the church. It's the people inside who are humans, who are fallible, who are saved, but we're still working through our sanctification and our spiritual growth and maturity. And so the first thing I challenge people to do is look at the fact that we have looked at church in the wrong way, that church is not supposed to be a place that's free of any kind of issues. And when the issue comes up, we don't return. And the example I use is we don't say restaurant hurt when you have a bad service.
When you go to a bad
with the waiter, you go back to that restaurant. You might, OK, there's that waiter. We don't want him.
Right.
But you still go back to the church. Excuse me. Go back to the restaurant. restaurant. Yeah. But we get that mentality with the church. I had an experience like this, and so I'm gone and I'm not coming back. So first is recognizing that issues are going to come up in the church, mm-hmm. because that's how God uses, that's a platform God uses to grow us and develop us. The second thing is recognizing that this one issue was this one issue. And we're not going to make this relationship pay for what happened over here. And I'm still talking in the church now.
Amen. Yep.
So I'm going to give this person a shot.
Yeah.
This person over here, we had an issue. And hopefully we actually go through the process. Us having a breach, having a conversation, talking through it, praying through mm-hmm. it, maybe setting some standards moving forward,
right.
About how things should be, and then actively working to rebuild and restore the relationship. And I think that's where the problems happen. Mm. We have a situation, we've forgiven each other, but then I call it navigating the awkward. After we've forgiven each other and now we're trying to rebuild, there's that awkward mm-hmm. sense of, we just came out of this. How do we do this?
Right.
And people tend to avoid.
Do I walk a different way? Do yes. I park in a different spot? Because I really don't want to yes. run into them.
People avoid anything that makes them feel uncomfortable yes. or awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to rebuild that relationship, we have to navigate the awkward. So maybe you have to be the one to send that text message,
right.
that funny text, or, hey, I know your birthday is coming up, or your kid's birthday is coming mm-hmm. up, or, hey, did you hear about this event coming up, or... When you see that you're going to church this day and you expect that y'all are going to cross paths, pre-decide the conversation
That's right.
that you're going to have.
That's right.
Figure out what's going to give you a sense of comfort to mm-hmm. navigate the discomfort, mm-hmm. because once you jump into the discomfort, eventually it goes away.
That's right.
But somebody has to be the person That's right. to make the first move.
Yep. And so, I love it. Plan.
Yes.
Like if, I mean, like, this is what I'm going to say. This is the first sentence. I'm going to practice. I'm going mm-hmm. to smile. You know, I mm-hmm. mean, we can be proactive in that. We don't just have to be reactive
yes.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love so much just the thought of, like you said, when God's word says, choose unity
mm-hmm.
in the church, choose unity. Well, that means we have to choose it. And so he knew it was going to be something we had to purpose
yes.
to choose. It wasn't just going to happen.
Yes.
And I think if we would walk into hard situations like that
mm-hmm.
with the mindset of the Lord going, he knew we were going to have to choose unity. So let's work through it and choose it. Not be shocked that we have an issue, which I think is so often
yes.
we're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Someone's upset. Something's the matter. And it's like, no, God knew this was going to happen, but let's use it to grow us that sanctification process.
Yes.
Go down the line, use those things so that the next time maybe we handle it differently.
That's what I'm saying. God uses these relationships.
Yes.
He uses community to grow us. There are going to be certain aspects of our spiritual walk that will not develop apart from community. We have to experience it in community. We go to Sunday church and we hear a word, we're supposed to go out and live it, which means as we're going about our days, you know, week by week, day by day, year by year, we're going to run into each other. And the example that I use, I don't know if they have bumper cars anymore or not.
Like when
at
you go
carnivals.
To like a carnival and
yeah,
stuff?
At carnival,
yeah,
yes. I don't know if they have those
I
anymore, but it's in a confined space.
Right.
And everybody's driving these semi-drivable
right.
cars. And at some point, because we're in the same enclosed mm-hmm. space, we're going to bump into each
Absolutely.
Other. So inside the body, inside of a church, we're serving together. We're attending church together. Our kids are in similar ministries. At some point, we're going to bump into each other. And so God gives us a plan in his word on how do you handle when you bump into someone else
that.
Or when someone bumps mm-hmm. into you, and we navigate that process. We're not shocked that it happened
right.
because the Bible says, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
So let's see how you can really live out, I want to be more like Jesus.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we don't hear it anymore, but the WWJD
yes.
bands that everyone used to have,
yeah.
what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Jesus might forgive. forgive.
That's right.
So, Lord, I need you to help me because my flesh does not
want to
do this. That's but right. I know you want me to. So help me figure out how to navigate.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I love the bumper car example. And in my brain, I'm like, if you've ever gone and watched your kids drive bumper cars, mm-hmm. you're like, there's lots of different personalities in there.
Yeah.
There's one driver that's like aiming for people. And then there's other drivers trying to get away.
Yes.
And then there's others just not even noticing that they're crashing into me. It is the same thing, I think, even just how we are created and made, mm-hmm. how the Lord has made us. We have people that are going to be more confrontational.
Yes.
In the best of ways.
Mm-hmm.
That helps us move down the road so often because they do notice things and they're willing to say something about it. And we have to get to a place where we're like, this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just hard.
And another thing as I'm listening to you pops into my head is I think about spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
The word tells us that God has given each individual a spiritual gift, and everyone doesn't have the same gift.
That's right.
And in order for the body to function, everybody has to come and bring their gift to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So that means every individual inside our faith community is needed inside, let's say, this local body. So you have a gift that I don't have.
Yeah.
So if you're not in the body, you're not bringing your gift mm-hmm. because you're hurt, you're apprehensive, you're cautious, then I'm missing something
right.
that I'm supposed to get from this collective body because you're not here. And then when I'm staying at home and I'm nervous because I'm thinking if I go there in this group, they're going to reject me or they're not going to accept
yep.
me.
Yep.
We think that a lot. Then that group is actually missing out on what it is that I bring to the mm-hmm. table. So one of the things I would encourage women to do is if we have an established friendship group, there's nothing wrong with a friendship
right.
group because sometimes people see friendship groups and think they're cliques. Cliques and friendship groups are not
different.
The same.
Yep.
Friendship groups are communities, they're open. Cliques are closed.
Right.
So sometimes you will see a friendship group. I encourage women who are the established women in that setting to see a new lady and go and pull her
right.
in.
Yep.
But the flip side of that is you may come into a setting where you see established relationships. You be the one to also walk up and say, hi, this is my first time here.
Yeah.
You know, give me I'm going to use my high school daughter's term. Give me the tea.
Yes.
You
know, what do I need to know? What's happening? Yes.
Of what's going? What can I expect in this experience?
Yeah.
Or what's the best place to sit? You know, think of something
mm-hmm.
that's real neutral to
mm-hmm.
say and then establish a connection that way.
Yeah.
And that's how community gets built.
That's right.
But don't assume because of our experiences, we automatically assume that that group sees me and they're going to reject me. So I'm going to protect myself and stay away.
That's right.
But we can, just as much as we assume the negative, we can assume the positive.
That's right. Know? Yeah. And I think that's probably one of the things I see the very most is women will say, I don't jump in because everybody else already has it. I'm the only one that doesn't.
Mm.
And I think you and I would both just look at them and say, that is a lie from the enemy.
You exactly.
just
trying
have
to
say
separated.
That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the women are walking around thinking that.
Exactly.
And that's why they say separated because they think, well, everybody else has friends. I'm the only one that doesn't have friends. But if everybody thinks that, then everybody's walking around alone
mm-hmm.
and not together. And so it's pushing back the lies from the enemy and
yes.
going, I do, and almost I do deserve community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worthy of it, of having friends. And I have something to bring and to share. And then take the scary step and do it. We
mm-hmm.
do. We do hard things. We have to do hard things.
We have to.
We have to do hard things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I so appreciate you coming today,
this was good.
Y'all. Isn't she awesome? She's so awesome. You have so much wisdom, and I just love it. And so we'll have to have you back again, and we'll talk about something else. But I really do appreciate you a ton, and I think. Even just here at Sagemont, the reason what she said rang so true with me is I have such a heart and a passion for our women at Sagemont mm-hmm. to know Jesus and be known by Jesus, but also to know each other and
mm-hmm.
have community. And we're trying to be so purposeful with that. And so if you are someone, and maybe you don't go to Sagemont, maybe you go to another church, I challenge you this coming weekend, walk into that church and go introduce yourself to somebody if you feel like you don't have community. Or if you are someone that has community, walk into your church with a different purpose this Sunday, looking for women that need it, and be the person that's going to walk up and invite someone. And if you're here at Sagemont and you're like, I'm struggling, call me. Please just reach out to me. I want to help you be known here at Sagemont. We have amazing women here, and I want you to know them. And I want you, we want to know you. So come and do that with us. And I know you feel the same way about the ladies at your church.
100%. 100%.
Wanting that for them. So again, thank you so much for coming.
This was awesome.
And hanging out today. I really, really appreciate it. Y'all, thanks for hanging out with us on Table Talk. We will see you next time.